What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory in Christ Jesus. Today, we're talking about marriage failure again. And we talked about five reasons why marriages fail, and I gave you my view of it based off the scriptures as opposed to what statistics tell you. So I just want to talk about this a little bit more today. And just to kind of kick off, before I kick off the solutions to these failures in marriage, I just want to just talk about the purpose of marriage. And I just want to just really share, like, when you open the Bible and you study marriage and you look at why it was created, what was in it, intentions are, and everything that's involved in it, and then you look at how marriage is done today, you'll see why marriage fails. This is the thing. You'll see why the marriage fails. So I just want to go through some scriptures, man. It's real simple. When you start just reading scriptures and you start understanding, it's just amazing to me, you know, and the way marriage is done today in this gynocentric society versus how the Bible and how God intended marriage to be. So I'm going to just go over my list here of scriptures here. So number one thing I found, this going all the way back to Genesis, marriage is for and about the man. It's not about the woman. It's not for the woman. It's for the man. Now, the woman benefits, but it's about the man. And let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. This is the first marriage. This is why God set marriage up. Genesis 2, 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate or help meet for him." So it goes on to say, "Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast." But, you know, Adam didn't see anybody that would fit him. And it goes on to say, let's jump down to verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So we see here that God created woman and essentially put together a marriage for the purposes of the man. A marriage is created for men. It says not good for man to be alone. This is what God says at the very beginning of creation. This is why marriage is in effect, because it's not good for men to be alone. Now, the word alone, we can break it down and say that it means all in one, because we see that God took something out of him to make somebody else. And so essentially he was all in one. He had a woman inside of him. You could talk and say it like that. That's not what the scripture says, but you can say that that's what was the issue or whatever. He's all by himself. He needs support. He needs help. So that's what marriage is for. Marriage is for a man, so that he can do things in the earth. He needs help. Women are created to help men. This stuff is simple, yet we live in a gynocentric society that teaches us that men were created for women. Okay? But continuing on, what does he need help with? Well, he needs help with, number one, sex. Men have sexual needs. Aside from procreation, which is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, he says, go therefore and be fruitful and become many. And then in Genesis 4:1, it talks about Adam going into his wife and bearing a son and then doing it again and bearing another son. Aside from that, men need to have sex. So one of the reasons marriage is there for the man so he can have sex. He needs to release sexual energy. He needs to just have an orgasm every now and then. That's just part of that. And so we have several scriptures that talk about that. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Let the fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." Ravished here is to almost, in other word, intoxicated, or just filled with her love, you know, and satisfied sexually is what he's saying here. He said, "Let her breast satisfy thee." So That's what it's for. That's what marriage for. A man needs to have sex. He needs to have an orgasm. He needs to have pleasure. You know, we talked about good sex and why it's important and all that stuff. This is all for the man. Okay. Marriage is for men. Right. So that's one of the reasons why he needs help. He needs sex. Okay. He needs a sexual release. He needs to have intimacy and closeness and warmth. You know, the warmth that a woman brings a man. That is all part of what he needs. Okay. And so God created a woman, pulled her out of him, and then made her as a helpmate to him. Okay. So this is what marriage is for. I keep reiterating this because we live in a culture that makes it about the woman, which is why marriages fail. Another reason is to help him fulfill his destiny. The Bible says that God created a helpmeet for him. Help him do what? Help him meet everything he was called to do. Every man has a destiny. He has a mission. He has gifts and talents. You know, he's on this deserve to create some things. Every man has something in him that he wants to build. Now, a lot of guys have been suppressed because of other men telling them they can't do it, or creating a society where all the men just think of themselves as slaves, and they go to 9-to-5 jobs and they just kind of help build somebody else's empire. But the reality of the matter is every man has a gift and talent and a purpose and a mission in the world. And his wife helps him fulfill that. Even if she's not actually doing the actual work with him, she's supporting him through being his outlet for sexual activity, taking care of the food and the clothing and cleaning the house, or making his life as he does his job better. You have a destination. There's something that if you do it, if you go out and do what you're supposed to be doing in the earth, you'll have a lot of more peace, joy, happiness, because that's what you were built as a man to do. Okay. And your wife helps you support that. She supports what you're doing and helps you be better at that. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10 talks about us being created to do good works. And it goes on Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nation. This is in particular to those who are called to be prophets and people who, you know, who have been born again and stuff like that. The bottom line is God has a purpose for people. He has a destination for men. And that's one of your things that your wife is supposed to help you with. She's supposed to make that a little easier for you. You know, if you're a prophet, if you're a teacher, if you're a pastor, your wife supports you and helps you in that. Not necessarily doing the work you've been ordained to do it, but she helps you. She makes your life easier while you do your job in the earth. That's what a wife is for. That's what a marriage is for. Once again, marriage is for the man. All right. And then Romans 8:29 talks about being conformed to the image of Christ. So all men's purpose is to be transformed to the image of Christ. Right. And so a wife also helps in that. Perhaps her behavior or attitude or whatever sharpens that man to where he becomes more like Christ. But the bottom line is, these are the things that women help men in. And it's not to say that she comes into the picture and says, I'm going to help you my way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But she was created for that purpose. She was created to help the man. This is what marriage is about. Once again, marriage is about the man. God made marriage for men. Marriage is also a mini construct of God's relationship with his people, Christ and the church. The man is God, and the wife is the church. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 32. It said, this is the great mystery, but I am actually speaking with reference to Christ and the church. The bottom line here is men are little gods. They're like little gods. And so they're his children, and he wants his children to experience the same thing he has. So it's kind of like this. And this is how I look at marriage too. It's like a father who's in construction, right? He drives these big old trucks around, and he has a son, and he buys his son a small truck that he can play with. And it seems similar to men today. Men have wives, and that wife is symbolic of the church, and that man is symbolic of God working with the church. So God works with the church, works with his people, and the man has a mini construct of that in his marriage, where he does the same thing. So he gets to be like his father in heaven. He gets to be like his creator. That's what marriage is about. You see? Every time I study, I see fathers. I see a God who wants his creation to be like him. And so he gives them a mini construct. And so this is what the scriptures say, that the mystery is great. You know, so marriage, it's no longer a mystery now, but marriage is a construct of the relationship between God and the church, of God and his people. I hope people see this. It's just the father buying his son a truck to play with in the dirt, a little dump truck to play with in the dirt. That's all he's doing. And that's what marriage is. And so he wants that reflection between him and the church to be the same way in that marriage with that man. And so once again, marriage is for the man. He gets to experience how it is to be like God. That's what marriage is for. But here we go. Gynocentrism flips it all around. We live in a gynocentric society. We talked about this in the past. This is a corrupt culture. It's backwards. This is by Satan's design. And this is why marriages fail. They don't operate the way they were intended, the way they were created. Okay? And we have to change our minds about how we think of marriage. You can't just go with the culture. So in gynocentrism, marriage is for and about the woman. The ring, the proposal, the wedding, everything. A lot of men got married because their wives wanted it. Some of these guys were content with just being with her. They didn't really want to do all of that. But a lot of them did that. They knew it would make her happy to have that wedding ring, the engagement ring, all of that stuff. Okay? And we see, continuing on, it's all about her. Okay? The man becomes a resource to use by her. The man is exclusive to the woman. We talked about how biologically, God did not create men to be exclusive to women. Women were created to be exclusive to men. Once again, women were created for men. Marriage was created for men. All right? So women are supposed to be faithful to their husbands. They don't get to have side men and all this other stuff. Okay, that's adultery. But men have been created. They can have as many women that they want that they can take care of. Okay, we see that in scripture already. But in a gynocentric society, it flips it around to where it's about the man being exclusive to the woman. And now in this wicked day and age, women are having side men while the man is staying faithful to the woman. So she's married and she got a few guys she's having sex with on the side now. You know, it's crazy. And so this gynocentric society, this false, deceptive culture has stimulated and supported the lust of women. And that lust is the desire to dominate and control the man. We talked about that in the Curse of Eve sermon. And you can check that out later. But she gets the control over the man, number one. She gets to have sex and have children, but they're considered her children, which is why once there's a divorce, 90% of the time, she gets the children. Because they believe it's all about the woman. She gets those children. But when we look at the scriptures and we look at how God intended marriage to be set up, children belong to the man, to the husband, to the father. The wife is taking care of them. She's raising them up under the counsel that he's given her. Okay? They belong to him. And so in a normal society, if there was a breakup, the children should be always sent back to the father. But in this gynocentric society, the children actually belong to the woman. It's about her. And then, of course, a lot of things start to happen within the marriages. One of the things that happens is the man is deprived of sex, or he's controlled by sex. So the marriage was created for the man. The woman was created to give the man a sexual outlet. And now, in a gynocentric society where it's turned around, he is being controlled by sex. So sex is divvied out to him as he follows the commands of the wife in some cases. And of course, the women are depriving men of sex. In some cases, they just lose interest with the man, don't want to give him none. And it's just a very messed up situation for the man, because he cannot express himself sexually, and he doesn't have an outlet. And so he either end up having sex with other women, which is a no-no in the gynocentric society. Now he's considered a cheater. He's considered an adulterer. And then he's eventually divorced in some cases. Okay, all because of this backwards thing. When the woman was created for him to have sex with. Okay, he should be getting it as many times as he want to get it. Okay. So, and then of course the children are taken away from the man in divorce, as we talked about. So continuing on, since the focus is on the woman, the marriage fails because the man is sexually unfulfilled. All right. So he may be in the marriage, but he just not getting no sex. He ain't getting no outlet. His woman ain't attractive because she didn't let herself go, because in a gynocentric society, it's about the woman. She get to do what she want to do. She don't get to, it's almost an offense for a man to say, you need to lose weight. You need to maintain your beauty. You need to look a certain way. You need to change your attitude and behavior. They tell men today, you need to back off that woman. She's an individual. You need to respect however she want to color her hair. If she want to cut all her hair off tomorrow and come in the house, you got to submit to that. Why? Because she's the queen. She's the god. It's about her. She's her own individual. You need to support that. So that's what's happening. And that affects, you know, attraction and all that kind of stuff. But because of the flipping of the roles and who was created for who, men are sexually frustrated in marriages today. Another thing that the gynocentric society causes is the man is off course and not meeting his destiny because his wife ain't helping him. Matter of fact, the wife is deviant, got him going somewhere else. So he's focused on pleasing her all the time. Now, we do have to please our wives because they're our wives. They help us. We need to, you know, support their needs. But however, a man cannot make his wife and where she wants to go, especially if it's deviating away from the family destiny. But that's what's happening. He can't support that. But men are supporting it because the woman is the head and the really the pinnacle of the family. She's the center. And so he can't even follow what he's supposed to be doing. Now, a lot of men don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. They're so focused on the woman that they never find that out. They're too busy trying to please the wife. The wife want to move over here, they go over there. The wife want to move over there, they go over there. You know, she's controlling this man, telling him what to go and where to go. And he's just following along because he wants to please her. In the biblical marriage, under God, the man has to say so, the woman follows. All right. So this gynocracy has destroyed men's destiny. A lot of men are just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they're unfulfilled. They're unhappy. They don't have no joy. They don't. They live in a miserable state. And marriage is miserable under a gynocracy for men. It's misery. Okay? Another thing, point is he has little support or is hindered by his wife. So anything he wants to do, maybe he wants to be self-improvement, maybe he wants to build a business, he's just hindered by that because the wife is like, that's not about me. It's about you, you know, and the gynocentric society is the focus of the woman. So frustration and stress comes over the man because he's trying his best to please a woman that's really his subordinate. This is his subordinate. She should be trying to please him. That's her focus, should be pleasing her husband. But most of his energy and time is about pleasing his wife. And so he's frustrated. And ultimately, men are supposed to be pleasing God, not people. They should be focusing on God, what his will is for their life, and following that. And that woman is supposed to be supporting her husband as he follows God. That's how it works, okay? And so what we have is a failure in marriage is because men follow women instead of men following God. The hierarchy has been... it's been said millions of times in scripture, the head of every man is God. The head of every woman is the man. So if you change that hierarchy where the man is following the woman, it's over with. The marriage is going to fail. All right. The end result of this is that men have little self-esteem at all today because gynocracy has just belittled men to the point to where they just don't feel any good about themselves. A man's esteem now is also tied to his ability to, or his usefulness to a woman, meaning sex and money. So now it's like if he makes a lot of money, if he gives good sex to the woman, he should feel better about himself. That's how he judges himself. A lot of guys walk around and say, well, I'm a good man because I'm a provider. So you judge yourself and who you are and your worth and value based off your ability to provide for other people. So your esteem and who you are as a person is connected to what you do for other people, for your wife in particular, and your children. It's not to say that that's wrong, but that's not what it's about. You see? But because the focus is women, this is what we're dealing with. Men become powerless, basically. A failed marriage is when it is no longer operating as it intended. And this is what's happening here. So some men will claim, well, me and my wife don't fight. You know, we have sex on a regular basis. I don't see how you're saying this is a failed marriage. I would say it's a failed marriage if you're not meeting your destiny as a man. You were created to build something in the world. Now, if you ain't doing that, and all you do is go to the 9-to-5, help somebody else build their corporation, and all you do is sit back and you come home and watch just the game, and you know, you live this kind of a mediocre life, but you say, well, you and your wife is on good terms and everything, your marriage is not successful because the woman should be helping you build something great. You got your own thing you should be doing, and she's not even supporting that. And a lot of it has to do with just, ignorance and deception, because, you know, we live in a society that doesn't want you even be to build anything as a man. Okay. And this is the fault of other men who decided long ago, well, we're going to make sure these people be slaves their whole life. But living in the matrix is basically what a lot of men are doing. They asleep, and they ain't going to be in this state until they die. Their wife don't help them meet their destiny. She, on some level, keeps him in slavery because he has to keep up a job to support her and her needs and to please her. And so he feels like his esteem is so low that he's scared of losing somebody who doesn't even respect him that much. While he goes to job 9-to-5, you know, working his behind off to please her and supply for her. And as soon as he loses his job or his money, she's dipping, she's divorced, and she's getting another man. This is the state of men in a gynocentric society, you know, and this is various degrees, obviously, but marriage was intended to help a man meet his destiny. But Satan used it to hinder the man and destroy the man using his own woman. OK, so you want to know why marriages are failing? It's because of gynocentricity. So I was just knocking out that first lie. One of the first lies on that list there was, you know, the gynocentric lies. And so, but if you just look at the Bible and look at what it teaches you about marriage, you can see all the way from the beginning, God created marriage for men. That's it. Marriage is all about the man. We need to flip this thing back to where it needs to go. And it's going to go back. It's going to go back. In order to be successful in marriage, you have to approach marriage the way God intended for it to work. Any other way, it's going to be messed up. All right. You're not going to be happy. Or if you feel like you are happy, but you're not fulfilling your call and mission in the world, then you're a failure. Your marriage is a failure. If your wife isn't helping you be all you can be, it's a failed marriage. So that's all I got for you today. Till next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.